Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Why does it often take the loss of a loved one to realise some of the most important things in life are the things that money can't buy? A near-death experience in my 20s changed my perspective on life as only death can. Something my guest today has understood for most of her life. She wrote in a recent social post, "Personal connections and love are everything." Principal and founder of Forefront Wellbeing, Julianne Jules Sullivan, is someone who believes that her dad's legacy was proof that joy, honesty, and kindness can transform even the toughest times. Jules grew up travelling across Australia, from the top end of Western Australia through South Australia and New South Wales, before settling in Perth aged 8. The eldest of 3 children, she describes her family as loving and supportive, a family who taught her the values and morals she's carried through every chapter of her life. Those values became her compass. With a background in psychology, HR, and over 25 years' experience in physical and psychological injury management, Jules has devoted her career to helping others move from stress and overwhelm to energy and ease. Recently, Jules lost her father to thyroid cancer, a man whose humour, integrity, and compassion shaped her own approach to life. Jules, thanks for joining us today. As the eldest of 3, how did your family dynamic shape your personal perspective?
As I got a little older and being the eldest and being female, I realised that it was a fairly conservative upbringing and very protective. And I was quite resentful of that a lot of the time, whilst also being appreciative of it, because my parents, my mum in particular, was very good at explaining her rationale for certain reasons, for certain actions around safety and things like that. So there was a lot of that that I then chose to take forwards into my own parenting with my ex-husband, with our children, that I think worked really well for us. So my dad was a businessman and had been through most of my life, a very well-known and very successful one. So he was away a lot. And I've recognised through my own parenting years the amazing and very hard work that my mum put in completing that family life and ensuring that I don't think I ever really felt that absence as much because of the hard work that she put in. Yeah, so very fortunate.
When we're raised with siblings in a family dynamic, there's always this power hierarchy. As the eldest, were you treated differently?
Absolutely. You know, most of us carry stuff from our childhood, and you know, my thing was, I was the eldest and I was a girl, so all of the cotton wool, all of the protections in place, that kind of stuff. And look, it wasn't shocking. But I would have liked to have done more. I think learnt a lot. But so, yeah, I had 4 years as an only child, in essence. My sister came next, and she and I are incredibly close. She's lived overseas for most of her life, and I'm actually going to see her in 2 days' time, so I'm extremely excited. And my brother then came 2 years later. So my sister was really in the mix, in the midst of things, had a very different life, went to schools in the city and had to be much more independent. So she was afforded more of that independence than I was. By the time my brother came along, all bets were off, right? You know? So, I mean, he's not going to get pregnant. He's, you know, the third, there's a lot going on in life by the third child. And I'm very fortunate for the strength of the relationships and the connection that we all still have. Values are consistent between all of us, and our expression of those can be different. Yeah.
As the eldest child, did you find yourself mothering your siblings?
Look, it's not something that I remember really very much. I'm sure that I would have at times. it makes me wonder if there was an awareness in my parents of not placing that load on me. So for context, my dad comes from a family of six children, and he was, fourth, I think. And his eldest sister was very much the mother in the absence of their parents, who ran delicatessens and fish and chip shops and worked all hours of the day. And my mum is an incredibly empathetic person. She is a feeler through and through. And so I think it wouldn't surprise me if she had an awareness of that and of my experience of being able to actually just be a child.
Yeah. I came from two, and as the eldest, and even though there was only 17 months between us, I definitely took on a mothering role, especially when my parents were at work and it was just the two of us. So, you know, and I think as we travel through life, we do tend to take on the responsibility of our younger siblings. How has your relationship evolved? You said that you're really close with your sister. Do you see much of your brother?
No, look, we have lived apart. There was fairly traumatic experience for my mum. All of us left home within a very short period of time. So I got engaged, moved off to Kalgoorlie. My sister, before she turned 18, moved to Vienna to pursue music and language and you know, a new exciting life. And my brother at around the same time moved out very young. So my mum and dad experienced empty nest very, very suddenly and unexpectedly, really. I think there's been a lot of benefit in that actually for us. You know, there's a lot of families where relationships are broken down, people are in each other's pockets, they get really frustrated with each other, it's too close for comfort. And for us, absence has absolutely made the heart grow fonder. So we have lived in separate states in different countries for all of our adult lives. And it always strikes us when we get together, you know, this ties into, you know, what you speak about so strongly. It really ties into those family values. And as adults, we don't realise how much of those things we carry through our lives, consciously or not, says the coach in me, which you'll also understand. So we've had a really rough last 2 or 3 years with our parents going through different things and my dad's health struggles, helping them downsize, get rid of stuff they didn't want to get rid of, move out of a house they didn't want to move out of. And it's taken the three of us to come together, have those really tough conversations, be in really stressful times. And that's really shown me the mettle. It's really shown us what we're made of and the strength of the relationship and the values that we share. It's been an amazing time.
You lost your dad recently to thyroid cancer, yeah, as you've spoken publicly about in your socials. You also, when he passed, you made this poignant post that really caught my attention and focused, I don't know how you had the grace in that time, but focused on everything he had given you in life and celebrated him joyously. What gives you that perspective on life these days?
Well, such a great question. And my eyes will probably leak a little bit while we talk about this, and I'm okay with that if you are. I think I've had an understanding for a really long time that love and grief are a flip side of the one coin. And when we lose someone and it hurts so much, it's because the love was there first. And a beautiful friend of mine, right in the midst of all of that, actually shared a post that, and I can't remember who the quote was by, but it said essentially that. And I didn't know whether to post that. It felt right for me, but I was very concerned that others might have seen it as using his death and his passing as a vehicle for self-promotion. And so I was so close to not sharing it, but it was so important for me to do. And I think the other thing that helped with that expression at that time was he had been ill for about 8 years. And so we were so incredibly fortunate to have that additional time with him that was really heightened in its special nature because we knew it wasn't going to be forever. We know that at some level, but when it's really here, it's hard to ignore. And so when he did get sick and pass, it happened very quickly. He'd had a number of turns, and then there was one. We thought he was coming out of hospital, and then it became evident he wasn't. And it happened at the most. I'm also into, and we touched on this earlier, universal influences. I think sometimes and often, in fact, things are just meant to be. In fact, I believe that the way things are they are how they are because they are meant to be. Whether it's good, bad or ugly, whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is we're experiencing, it's there is something in there for us to learn. And so at that time, my brother happened to be here with his partner, traveling through from overseas. My two daughters happened to be off work and off uni. My mum was around. We managed to get my sister back from Austria. And so that then remaining 5-6 days was just constantly in the hospital, sitting around the bed, sharing stories, sharing love, sharing laughter. And it was the most joyful, deeply connectful time that I'm so incredibly grateful for. And at the same time, we were all digging very, very deep to be able to stay in that moment and in that time and ease that passing process for him as much as we could. So that is where I think that post came from. And when he passed, there was an overwhelming sense, and I know a lot of people will be able to identify with this, an overwhelming sense actually of joy and relief. We wanted him to be at ease. He had been so gracious and graceful in everything that he had gone through. When things were crap, he would just say they were crap, and he would allow that to be and then move through it and make the most of the times when they were good. And there was a lot about that I learned from, in addition to a lot of lessons that I had learned from him through family life and through business. But that's really where it came from. And I found actually that first month after his passing that joyful and that connection. I speak with him more in the other realm than I did when he was alive, just because I can see and feel the ways in which he has influenced me and continues to do so. And so that hung around for about a month. And then in the second month, the hard stuff hit. Out of the middle of nowhere, just walking around ugly, crying for no particular apparent reason. And I feel now I'm setting into some kind of synchronicity of all of those things. You know, it still hits, and the grief is there because the love was there first. I'm so, so fortunate to have had it.
I'm so fortunate to have stumbled upon that, actually, because I hope with every fibre of my being that my family will be able to celebrate my life in a way you've just described your family celebrated your dad. The gratitude that you shared for the joy and humour he brought to your life, for the connections that you've been able to establish through your parents' values, which you've spoke very highly of, and the morals that we grew up with. When you were talking about being a parent before, how much of that was a focus prior to losing your dad, and how much will it carry you forward?
A great deal and a great deal. Without delving too deeply, because this is a personal story, but in previous generations in my dad's family, there had been turmoil. There had been separation of family members. So I do believe that very strongly influenced both my dad's and my mum's way of creating what really was a tight-knit family unit, regardless of rules and rebellion and resentment and teen and tweendom and that stuff. So that was something. And so when I met my husband, he was in the mining industry, and we moved very quickly from the city into the regional areas. And we weren't married yet at that point. And I recall us having very clear conversations. Okay, so this time, this now, this is going to make or break us. We are either going to turn towards one another, and we're going to lean on one another and learn to support one another, or we're going to lean outwards and the pressures are going to be, you know, potentially fatal. And throughout our married life, that was our pattern. We followed the mining industry. We lived in a number of different regional towns all over Australia. And I think while there are definitely pressures with that, our focus was inward, and we were able to express, and I expressed a lot through our family life, what an amazing little family unit we've got. You know, how cool is this that we can have these times, we can have these conversations, we can share these moments. And I hadn't reflected on this before, so thank you so much for that amazing question. I do think that definitely came from my family, absolutely.
You were talking before about your husband and you and parenting your own twin girls, and it made me reflect on a conversation I had recently where two people that I know have very different ideas on what parenting is because of their very unique experiences as children. How challenging for you has it been trying to combine, you know, the values, morals, the parenting modelling that you and your husband have had?
Look, really challenging, to be honest. And I think for the most part, I'm actually really proud of both of us and how we managed to do that. We're no longer together, but we had 25 amazing years together. And, you know, so my family was somewhat tippy-toey because there was a lot of empathy and my mum was such a touchy-feely person. There was a lot of tippy-toey, not getting angry, not speaking hurtful things, being very mindful of not making other people uncomfortable, rah-de-rah. Scott is from a very a much more direct family, and I have such an appreciation for that as well. Yeah. So also combine that with engineering background, psychology background, and you really have a really interesting mix of views on the world alongside parenting techniques and applications. So I think by and large, we complemented each other beautifully. And there were definitely times when he stepped in and took the harder line. And I didn't necessarily always agree, but we made decisions early on to back one another also. And there were times when I was absolutely there to maybe lessen the blow a little, not to undermine, but just to remind the children that, you know, these decisions come from love. You know, these decisions come from a place of care and respect and of wanting the best for you. So I think by and large, I think we did that really well, really well. And it wasn't easy. Ha!
I love that because, you know, this is what my show's all about, is reflecting on things and really tackling some of the hard stuff that most of us don't share, that we don't talk about, that we don't discuss, because it's only through sharing those stories and those experiences we can feel less alone, like we're not going through anything that someone else hasn't been through. Reading your story and understanding where you come from, I reflected on your coaching. Why did you choose to share your experience plus your background in psychology and HR in this way with people?
So many reasons to this, and I know we don't have all day, so let me try and summarise. My God. All right. Very reserved upbringing and working life. And my husband was the big breadwinner. And, you know, I went through a number of personal experiences. I didn't know that I was really in the career I wanted to be in. I've since learned how valuable it was. And then I went through burnout and was unable to work for a period of time. I had a family member who was very unwell, who I was caring for. I then went through a breast cancer experience, and I thought that I had been living true to me. And it took that, honestly, full, complete breakdown to be able to rebuild. And I decided at one point to follow the things, and I learned this through being coached myself when I did my training, to follow the things that filled my bucket, that, you know, that really energized me, and the things that I had seen people say over and over again through my life, wow, that was so helpful for me. And it also, I was also forced to it because I was unable, I had just divorced, I was unable to make enough in my day-to-day job to live on. And so I was blending then a couple of days of that during my return to work and stepping into my business. And I am so incredibly, I won't say, I don't know that I'll ever be a person that says I was grateful for my breast cancer, but those were lessons I needed to learn. And I am more me than I have ever been in my whole entire life. And I am all about that for others. And my primary reason for that is when we are ourselves, when we are strong on our values and we're living our values, we're not carrying around our shite and we're not sharing our shite with others. And there is so much shite in the world now that I believe that turning inward and doing this self-work is part of what I now call an uprising. By choosing consciously to spread this more positive, not spreading shite vibe, it is an uprising against all of that gumph that is going on elsewhere. So I just give myself tingles, that's why.
Oh. Yeah. Love your authenticity. Yeah. Love the work you do. I think we can definitely have another conversation, especially how we as parents can help shape our children through the way we interact with the world and the example we set.
I 100% agree. I'm very passionate about that, and I love the work that you're doing in this space. Yeah, I can't even begin to explain. Thank you for everything that you do. I think it's amazing.
Jules Sullivan, who reminds us that well-being isn't a luxury, it's a responsibility. When we take care of ourselves, we create the conditions to care for others. Very important as parents, educators, and anyone who's influencing children. Her message and lived experience bring us back to the fundamentals of health, humanity, and leadership. Because the most powerful legacy we can leave is the energy we pass on to others through kindness, connection, and living our values. You'll find the links to Forefront Wellbeing and Jules' social platforms in the show notes. You can also find all the details about how to connect with and follow me in the show notes as well. I look forward to bringing you another personal story that inspires and motivates next week. Until then, be kind and be the change you want to see in the world.